Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. What does a wife want from her husband? Leadership and love. A husband wants his wife's reliability and respect. When these needs are being met, a marriage is on the right track. Today, words to men on what they must do to be the kind of leaders God wants them to be. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues a series on The Marriage Puzzle, Why Commitment Can Do What Love Can't. We're trying to solve the puzzle of your needs and conflicts. Now, we focus on what husbands need to do.
A wife's primary need is to be led and to be loved. What about the husband? Well, see that she respect her husband. It says in verse 33, to respect. Now, what that means, and when you add to that the whole issue of, submission of the wife, husbands need someone who is reliable, who is dependable, whom they know. She's not the kind of woman who's spending money behind his back and doctoring the checkbook to cover it up. She's not the kind of person who's conniving. And by the way, speaking of money, that is so huge that the next message in this series has to do with money, because there's so many conflicts over that, so many divorces over that, and that's why we're going to deal with it in the next message on this series on marriage. But the heart of her husband, the Bible says in Proverbs 31, the heart of her husband doth trust in her. I know that God has given me a wonderful wife, and among many, many other virtues, I can say of Rebecca, my heart doth safely trust in her. A man desires that. She's not running off telling other people about how bad he is. She's not the kind of person who's speaking behind his back. He can trust her. And then, of course, respect. Now, ladies, it's your turn. You respect by the tone of your voice. You can say the right thing, but you can do it in the wrong way. And that can indicate huge volumes of disrespect to your husband. Now, here's what women generally think. What if a man were to say to his wife, well, you have to earn my love? Could you imagine saying that as a Christian? She'd say, earn your love. Don't you read your Bible? You're supposed to love me unconditionally like Jesus Christ loved the church. And now you're talking to me about earning your love? Well, now what if he were to say to her, you have to respect me unconditionally? What do you mean respect you unconditionally? You have to earn respect. Like women sometimes say, that rat has to earn my respect. So she doesn't respect her husband. So because, you see, it is conditional, and of course he never reaches the point where he's worthy of respect, you can pretty well be sure of that. His needs are never met. He acts in an unloving way. Her need for love is unmet. And on the crazy cycle goes. One way that you can respect him is by the way in which you entreat him. Don't lecture him. If you find out that he's struggling with pornography, you don't give him a lecture and shame him. What you do is you say, I just want you to know how much you deeply hurt me by this. I am a crushed woman, but I want to stand with you through this. We want to get to the heart of it. I want to pray with you, and I want to encourage you out of this. And by the way, one of the messages still to be preached in this series is also on addiction. But she's there to stand with him, to love him, and as best she can, continue to respect him, even though he so deeply disappointed her. Ladies, you could change your marriage if you encouraged your husband. Find something that you can encourage him in, something that you appreciate, something that's good, because it's there. Maybe you have to do a little bit of archaeological work to find it. Whole marriages could be changed by the way in which couples speak to one another and by the way in which they engage each other and speak of one another. You know, I'm always reminded of that mother. Her daughter came home with her boyfriend, and after, you know, they left, somebody said to the mother, "Well, what did you think of your daughter's boyfriend?" And she said, "Well, I mean, you know," she's trying to think of something positive. She says, "Well, you know, at least the words on his tattoos were spelled correctly." I mean, find something good. Put a note where he'll find it of encouragement. Respect him. He needs respect. If he doesn't have that, he's going to act in unloving ways, unfortunately, probably. He doesn't have to, but that's the tendency. Now, where does all this lead us, and why should our lives be changed because we've listened to this message? Every time you hear a message, you should say, why should my life be changed as a result of this? Because that's the whole purpose of preaching. It's not to give you information, it's to change your life, and the information is intended to do the change with the help of the Holy Spirit. First of all, number one, would you remember this? Our marriages as Christians should not tell lies to the world. Should not tell lies to the world. You see, God instituted marriage to show the relationship of Christ in the church. That's why Paul says this is such a great mystery. This hadn't been revealed yet in Old Testament times as it is in New Testament times. And when we as Christians have bad marriages, what we're saying is that Jesus and the church don't get along very well, and this is the way they fight, and this is the way they argue. And we are sending a wrong message about Jesus and the church. And we need to repent, because the purpose of marriage is to bring glory to God and to illustrate the relationship of Jesus, ladies, whom you married, to the church, men, whom you married. That's the purpose. Now let's go back. Let's go back to the two stories that I began this message with. The woman who says, you know, my husband is as oppressive as a guard in Auschwitz. All that he cares about is dragging me into the bedroom. That's essentially what she said. All right, what should happen in that situation? The man, supposedly, is a Christian. What should he do? He should back off and he should think to himself, now wait a moment, how could my wife feel so unloved that she would think this of me? What have I done or not done in order to give her this sense of being used rather than valued? That should be his first question. And so what he ought to do is to study his wife and study his relationship to her and say, wherein is this breakdown? Because her real need, she's acting out like this because she doesn't feel loved. So how can I make her feel loved so that she won't speak this way about me? She is a Christian, on the other hand, should say, you know, I overreacted and I didn't speak well about my husband. By the way, she told me this in his presence during a marriage counseling session. And I think that if the truth were known, her comment was a little bit over the top, as people sometimes do. She should be entreating him rather than lecturing him and trying to tell him off. Because she's still to respect him, you know. That's not conditional. Now let's go to the situation in which the wife comes home, makes a quick dinner, then goes up, and she's on the internet from 7 to 11 on a social networking site. What she argues is that my husband is so boring, and I have these needs that need to be fulfilled. And I find these needs fulfilled with my other friends, my other internet friends, and that's really where I get my fulfillment. Now, folks, I want you to imagine this woman as a Christian standing in the presence of Jesus on the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, where the Bible says all of us are going to be. Let's imagine it. Jesus is asking her about her relationship in marriage and why she neglected her husband and why she was on the internet for 4 hours every night, finding fulfillment apart from her marriage and apart from him, by the way. And she says, well, Jesus, you know, my marriage was boring. Jesus says, oh, yeah, that's right. You know, I realize now that you are supposed to respect your husband and be under his authority, but You're right. I didn't mean it if you married a boring husband. You know, it was nothing that drastic. I mean, you certainly had a reason why you wouldn't have had to obey my clear word. That sounds good to me. You know what that woman ought to do? She ought to get on her knees and repent and stay there long enough till the rebellion is out of her heart. Then what she should do is go to her husband and ask his forgiveness. Maybe he is boring, but you know, maybe it's been years since he felt respected, and maybe it's been years since she felt loved. And what they need to do is to get on with their relationship and the covenant that they made before God and stop all of this silly excuses for their disobedience. That's what they need to do. Could I be any clearer than that? Is there anyone here who says, now what does he really think about these things? Am I clear, brother? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm glad that two people up here say that I'm clear. We need to stop lying about Jesus and his relationship to the church, and our marriages are telling lies. Second, when sinned against, do not sin. When sinned against, do not sin. What does the man say? Well, you know, I tried to love her, and all that I get is this contempt. So, you know, he gets this contempt and contempt. Now, normally what happens is, you see, he responds to it, which is a huge mistake. You know, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, where there is no wood, the fire goes out, the quarrel ends. If you don't respond, at some point she is going to stop talking, I think. I'm reminded of a little cartoon. I remember a little boy said, my parents argued all evening, but my dad never said a word the whole time, you know. You know, the truth is that marriage oftentimes is a fruitful place where you can indicate a lot of humor because of the natural struggle between a man and his wife, women and men. And yet the simple fact is we have to remember that we have been created by God in such a way that we desire marriage. But I also want to say a word to those of you who are not married. God is able to bless you. You know, in the Old Testament, the Lord said this, and I think it's in Isaiah chapter 56. He says, to the eunuch, to the person who's unmarried, if he follows my Sabbath, if he obeys my word, I will give to him an inheritance that is better than sons and daughters. So I speak to those of you who are single, those of you who perhaps wish that you were married, be very cautious. Marriage is not an answer to everybody's problems. It's not a recipe for happiness. Although, thank God, there are many happy marriages. But there are also marriages that are not happy. It is best for you to be content with God and His will where He has placed you, and to know that He has a purpose for you that is very special, thanks to His grace.
Erwin Lutzer, with more on the puzzle of your needs and conflicts. Another in a series on the marriage puzzle. It's sad when marriage partners find social needs being met on the internet and not with each other. Next time, final thoughts on needs and how to meet them. The Marriage Puzzle series can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.